Acts 17, we'll start reading from verse 1. Acts 17, verse 1, it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and, gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find some of them, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, "There is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for again for your word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We thank you, Lord, for a passage like that in Isaiah 40, verse 8. Because your word still stands today. The principles that you declare in your word still stand. Even these that we just read here, God. And we desire to know your word. We desire to be like the Bereans. But we need your empowerment. And so, Father in heaven, we pray to you in the name of Jesus that you would please send your spirit, anoint us, equip us, teach us your scriptures, Lord. Help us to see your scriptures. Help us to search your scriptures. Help us to be prepared, just like the Bereans were. But please open up our understanding that we might know these things. And help us to be, even as you tell us in the book of James, to not be hearers only, but be doers of the word. Help us to apply these things, Lord. But we need your empowerment. Please empower us, for we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So as we continue on our journey, really with Paul's journey here and what we call the second missionary journey that he has, show you a map here. Again, he goes through this area. He was called by God. He got his vision of the man of Macedonia. He got his vision from God, a man of Macedonia. He concluded that God had called him to what we now call this Europe area. He's like, no, I want to go down to Asia, which not, you know, the Asia that we think of today is Asia Minor or Turkey. God told him, no, don't go down south. He didn't want to go back east where he came from. He wasn't allowed to go up north either. So, okay, let me go towards the sea. He kind of has his back up now to the water. And then God gave him a vision of a man of Macedonia. You see here on the map I'm displaying, it's up there in the white area. That's that whole region. They concluded that God was now calling the Apostle Paul to go there. So now they go on their trek. They continue on. This is Paul's second missionary journey. He's going through this region. He goes through this area that we call Thessalonica. And you guys might recall, he wrote two books to the people of that region. What do we call those Bible books? First and Second Thessalonians. Good. He was there for how long? We just read. How long did he stay in Thessalonica? maybe 3 weeks. That's it, for three Sabbaths, three Saturdays. He leaves, and now he's going through the area. He comes to this region called Berea. Berea means well-watered. I like that. Again, be well-watered in the Word of God. And we're told here that the people in Berea, we're going to focus again in verse 11, they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? They received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Thus the term you'll hear Christians, whether us or others, say, you know, be a Berean, like the title I have for this message. Be a Berean. We need to be a Berean. What does that mean? Have you guys heard that term before? Being a Berean? There's ministries I follow. One of them is a really neat apologetics ministry called the Berean Call. In fact, they sent me an email when I was praying and pondering if I should dig in further to this. I'm like praying this one day, and I got an email that morning. I'm like, oh, okay, from the Berean Call. And their whole ministries focus on this, Acts 17, verse 11. But as we ponder this passage, we go, okay, I want to be a Berean, but let me be a Berean with this scripture and study the text within the context. What is it that made them different? I'm going to focus on a couple of things here. Oops. Go back to the slide here. Keep it on the map. Notice this in verse 11. Again, we're continuing on today's part two in our study, having a brief series. As we go through the book of Acts, we're having a brief series as we go through a certain passage. This series I'm calling Be a Berean. This is part two. Notice this in verse 11. Okay, I'm going to... Actually, I have a whiteboard here. This is helpful. I love things like this. There's a teacher in here. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So the people in Berea, let's see, all right, with blue. I love having multiple colors here. They were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Okay, so I want to point out something right away. Now, I need to be like a Berean. I want to teach you guys to be like Bereans. And as we mentioned last week, Sunday, if there's anybody here, a bunch of you guys signed up for, it's a free group, it's a Facebook group, a bunch of you guys did. If anybody wants to get in, let me know. We're going to meet again in Zoom today at 6 p.m. And we can start to show you how you dig in, how you mine God's word to find truth, how you get those nuggets, those gold veins. This one, when you dig in, what's really neat with this word, were, like that's only one word, only four letters. But when you dig in the original language, this word were is rendered in what's called imperfect tense. In other words, what God is telling you and me is that those in Thessalonica, they weren't just were like, oh, past tense, but they were, they kept being this way. That's important to know about this. God is telling you and I that, hey, compared and contrasted to the people in Thessalonica, they both heard the message from Paul. Paul's habit was he would go into the synagogue on Sabbath. He would preach that Jesus was crucified, that he's resurrected. Hey, he's the Messiah, and he would show them according to the scriptures. People in Thessalonica, yeah, great. And then others came after Paul, and they tried to uproot his teaching. So they heard anything. They received anything. Why? Because they didn't check it out with the Bible. Hello, how many of you know that that's a problem today in Christianity? That's a huge problem, okay? So God is telling us and exhorting us, really, and compelling my heart. Here, I'm hopefully this will convey to somebody here. When you dig in the original language here, God is telling us, hey, even with the language itself, it's imperfect tense. It's an ongoing action. This wasn't just a single Sabbath. This was something where they kept being this way. The people in Berea, they kept being. How? Two main things we want to see here. So they kept being more than the people in Thessalonica. How? Well, they received the word with all readiness. And the second thing, they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so today I want to primarily focus on the fact that you and I need to keep being this way. And folks, one good thing about the Bereans, let me write this down here before I forget. Number one, they were a good example. Okay, say the Bereans. good example. If not, we could say a great or excellent example. They're an excellent example of how you and I are to be. Excellent example. Another thing I do want to say that hit my heart even as I was reading this morning, they are a great illustration. Gotta learn how to spell right here. Illustration of the what's called the fourth soil. And we'll dig into that in just a moment. How many of you guys remember the parable of the four soils? The parable of the sower? Okay, that's Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. When you look at these things, you're like, okay, that's a little obscure, Jesus. The sower goes out to sow the word. It's an illustration of what it's like when you and I share God's word. It's going to hit on one of four hearts. Go ahead if you want to take a picture. So, as you sow God's word, preaching the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, you and I know, even if you say, especially if you sow it to God, you teach God's word to a group, it's not going to hit the individual heart the same exact way because we're not robots. How many of you guys know that? We know that. This will help you greatly in your evangelism, greatly in your discipleship, in wanting to help people to come to Christ and continue to mature in Christ. Hey, there's going to be four types of people every time you teach or preach God's word. It's Mark 4, 1 through 20. You're going to hit one heart. That's like the hard heart. It's as if you listen to the seed of the word of God, it hits, dink. And we'll get into that in a bit. Second soil is the seed that fell amongst the rocks. Okay, the heat is hotter there. The seeds will germinate quicker, but there's no root there. Okay, so the root cannot grow deep. It just easily gets uprooted. That's the person that receives maybe the gospel message of salvation through Jesus. Yes, I need this. Yes. You see them one Sabbath or one Sunday in the church. And then what? Maybe a couple Sundays, but uprooted. Jesus has no root in himself. It speaks of the integrity. The third soil, let's just say, is like the worldly person, the worldly Christian, if that's an oxymoronic term. The fourth soil is where the seed of the word of God falls upon the good heart. It's basically the condition of the heart. And it germinates. And then what happens? Well, some grow to have this kind of fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And everybody's like, I want to be that person. Who here wants to be that person? I want that. Every born-again Christian is compelled by the Spirit to be that. Then pray, if you're not already in the group that we're going into, pray for joining with, again, it's free if you guys want it. We want to be able to help you. So the Bereans, they become a great example for you and I as Christians, and also a great illustration of that fourth soil. Okay, so we're going to talk about this. So receiving God's word with all readiness. This is going to be a short message today. We're going to go into communion later on because it's the first Sunday. But you and I need to be more like these Bereans. The first thing here is, again, they stayed this way. They kept being like this. They kept receiving the word with readiness. It's not like, oh, you got to hurry. 5 minutes ago, bro, Paul, your message was spot on. But the game's starting, man. You know, the Steelers are playing or whoever your game, you know. Sometimes we can get like that. Oh, come on, my class is starting, or I got this. That can happen sometimes in life. This is not that person. This is someone who they're prepared. They were ready. This spoke of the condition of their heart. Mentally, they had a readiness. They were ready, willing, and able to receive the message. So when it comes to receiving the word with all readiness, this word received, it could speak of the fact that they accepted, they welcomed. Let me see. Let me write this up here. Received. I'm going to like scratch all over this board here. Forgive me for my chicken scratch here. It's kind of how I do. So they welcomed. Received speaks of welcoming. They accepted. And again, they weren't just this way once. They kept being this way. This verb here, were, it modifies it. They were. They kept being this way. They kept welcoming the message of God's word. They kept accepting it. Now, why is that important today? Well, let me show you. Here's what the Bible says. If you have your Bibles, turn to the right, go to a book called 2 Timothy, could you? The same guy that we're reading about did his missionary travels here. He wrote to a guy named Timothy. And if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice what he says here. This is a prophecy. I've been studying this prophecy the majority of my life now, because when I first started to study this, I guess I was in my 20s, and it was a while ago. I'm 52 now, kind of aging myself here. And at that time, I was thinking, yeah, and we would hear it taught and preached to us, yes, this is the day and age we live in. And brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, after like 20-something years now, this world, this American society is backslid way, way more since then. Notice what he says here as a prophecy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word for inspiration, it means God breathed. God breathes out his word. All scripture, the Bible, you might say, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Hello, if you want to be a Bible teacher, guess what you got to teach? The Bible! Hard to find Bible teaching churches today, though, right? And yet, this is what it says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The first thing it says, which means teaching. For reproof. You want to prove something? Prove it with the Bible. Your opinion doesn't matter. Sorry. God's opinion matters, right? Amen? For reproof. You want to correct someone? It says for correction. Parents, you want to correct your children? Use the Bible. When you're not there and you're not looking, guess who's going to chasten and rebuke their hearts? God, if you give them God's word. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, you could say the person, the people of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, every Christian wants to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? Watch how thorough, how ubiquitous this is. Who here wants to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work? Raise your hand high. That's basically all of us, right? Okay. Guess what we need? All scripture. Ta-da. I could just like close the Bible. Okay, that's it. I can't do better than that in the message, right? That's it. So continuing on with what you and I call now chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach what? Your opinion? He says, preach the word. Remember what he just said. All scripture is what you need. Therefore, Timothy, preach the word. Preach scripture. Preach all scripture. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Can you imagine, like, everybody scratched their ears? Itching ears. Tell me something I want to hear. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It's very easy to find a fable-driven church. I'll say it like that. It's easy to find that, not just in New York City, across the United States and in the world. It's hard to find a church that teaches through the entire Bible, that will give people all scripture. And yet, it's prophesied. I want you guys to see this prophecy, because your entire life, you've been actually living with this prophecy already fulfilled. And it's getting worse. Thus the need for you and I to be like Bereans and search the scriptures. And then verse 5. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, here's your charge. You can't say, ain't me. I'm not Timothy. I'm not in Ephesus. Doesn't apply to me. You can't say that. This is your charge. But you, remember, it says that. In other words, forget what it's like for others, even for worldly Christians, even for Christians that would, but they go to that church. It's fun there. Are you getting taught all scripture? No, but it's fun. But are they going to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work? No. Why? Because the one that wrote this upholds this, and if we disobey it or abuse it, he's not going to get them to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Because what do they need? they need all scripture. Either God is God or they're God, and I know they're not. Okay? And you can't write your own Bible, so you and I must humble and submit and surrender to the Lord and realize that you and I need all scripture. So therefore, you need to preach the word, and verse 5 applies to you, Christian, but you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. At this point, at this juncture, Christian, I do want to say, what ministry has God given for you to do? I don't know what that is, because that's between you and God. That's your calling that he's called you to. But only you can fulfill that calling. Nobody else can. It's fit for you. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's Ephesians 2, verse 10, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. He's still waiting for some of us to walk in that calling, to discover and do. This is why we need to discuss this as a church and then pray for one another that you would be able to discuss or discover and hear God's calling, right, and walk in that. Fulfill your ministry. I don't know who that's speaking to today, whether it's someone online, someone listening later on, or someone here in person. Please, for the sake of those that will come to eternal salvation, please fulfill your ministry. Please, for the sake of those who will start to maybe mature in God's ways as you teach them God's word, please fulfill your ministry. Please do it. And don't try to hand it off to somebody else. Timothy was told by Paul twice. First book, stay in Ephesus. Second book, stay in Ephesus. Remain there. Why? Because he probably wanted to go. It was probably tough. I kind of felt that pain a little bit, you know, minuscule way coming out here. It's like, it's tough in New York City. People out here, God, they don't want you. Christians don't want you. That was my thing. Sorry. And even when I talked to even pastors, I would talk to ministers that would be preaching from the pulpit and never read the entire Bible. And like, wow, that's scary. How do you come up with your doctrine then? That's a reality. Now the question, people like, I want to encourage them. Read the Bible, get God's word in, and the Holy Spirit's job is to bring it out, but he ain't going to bring out what you and I didn't get in. That's the city. There's people preaching God's word that haven't read the Bible. That's the day and age we live in. And this prophecy we just read, don't think it's for the future. It's already been here. And I've seen this just in the past, I don't know, couple decades or so. It's gotten worse. So you, 2 Timothy 4:5, you, Christian, you, ladies, you, gentlemen, you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I had to have this apply to my life, just like you have to have this apply to your life. This speaks to somebody here. I know it does. Not because this is a word from God from heaven, because God's already spoken, and the Holy Spirit's already been preaching this to your hearts. I know that. Anybody else know that? Therefore, when we read this, I know it does something to you. Not me. It's a Holy Ghost within you who lives within the born-again Christian. Amen? He's convicting your heart. He's telling you, there's people that need to get saved. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Forget the fact that most Christians, or most that claim the name of Christ, that we see in New York City, are not really, they don't care about this book. I'm sorry, I need to judge my fellow teachers and preachers and pastors out here. They just aren't feeding the flock. They're fleecing the flock. Not all, of course. But that's happening. You need to be different. You and I need to be different with God's grace and strength. Amen? We need to. So you and I need to do this. We need to be like the Bereans. Let's go back here now to Acts 17, verse 11. They welcome God's word. Again, do you know that in this city, it's not common to find churches that will teach through books of the Bible? Why? Because, and I talked to some ministers out here, it's really struggling for me. It's frustrating for me. Pray for me. Because sometimes the toughest person to minister to is a minister. Anybody know that? My wife's married to one. Sometimes she could probably tell you that too. Because we're stubborn. We're pigheaded at times. But sometimes the toughest people to minister to are ministers. We still need to pray for them. I'm not too bad. Okay, praise God for his grace. She doesn't believe you. So we need to, though, be like the brands. We need to receive the word with all readiness. One of the things you'll find when you're a parent raising your children, that whatever you feed them, they develop a taste for. You guys realize that? I realize my challenges in trying to get like soda out of the house. You know, we try every now and then to get soda out of the house. Then we get like free shipments. We're like, oh my gosh. God's providing. But yes. Yeah, you guys see here like 2 pallets of stuff here. But I realize my challenge when I see my kids, especially little Josh, he's like, can I have some soda? And in my head, I'm like, no, but we're trying to quit soda. But I got to kick myself. You know why? Because the one that introduced him to that is me. And some of you parents, you know how that is. It's like, oh, I should have never given them candy. Oh, I should have never given them this. So guess how they know this? You know, in a similar way, that's what happened when you and I introduced people to the Word of God, to the Bible. Whether we teach our own siblings or children, right? You could teach your brothers and sisters. You could teach one another. Teach your children. They'll develop a taste, a hunger for God's word. They need that. And same thing in our churches. That if we make things about the word of God, like the word of God compels and commands us to do, then God's people will develop a taste, a hunger for God's word. And as Peter wrote, as newborn babes, he said what? Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, folks, church, I love doing this every now and then, ladies and gentlemen, raise up your sword, would you? Whether it's a digital or physical Bible. The Bible. This, you and I need to desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, this is the only thing God has given you and I to grow spiritually. Get used to that. Now, I could say that in some circles, even with some of my friends, I'm friends with either on Facebook or even personally, that would hate on me for saying that. Oh, what about this? Oh, what about that? Well, as a scriptural sleuth, I would have to say, I want to study the scriptures, be a Berean. What about worship? Well, if the principles of what you're singing or saying come from the Bible, it will help. That's why if you look at a lot of the old theologians, many of them were pastors, theologians, students of the word. They were the ones that actually would write songs. And you and I need to do the same thing today. Well, what about this or that? Well, if there are things that actually come from the Bible, whether the word itself or principles, these are things that God will put into your heart and life, that whether you're singing it or saying it or applying it or all of the above, that will help you and I to grow. But you and I got to understand that God gave us his word to help you and I to grow. You'll find that in Peter's writings. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Again, in other words, what God has given you and I for spiritual growth and maturity is the Bible. Amen? That's it. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and on. All scripture. It's a similar message you'll get from Jesus. Matthew 28. He said, make disciples. How do you make disciples? He says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So he says, teach them. And teaching for application. Teach them to observe it, not just read it. Teaching them to observe, and he says, all that I've commanded you. Because he says all, guess what I got to do? I must teach all scripture. Pretty simple, right? Hopefully we get it here. Hopefully I get it. I got to get this. Pray for me that I, you know, stick to the scriptures. We must do this. So you and I need to be like Bereans in these last days. We got to understand because of what the Bible shows are the last days. We live in the last days. Amen? Not because I'm saying it, but because we even read one of the biggest prophecies here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, whether it's the words of Jesus or the main apostles, like how Peter wrote or Paul or John even, sounds like the Beatles, I know. But they're the main apostles that wrote these things in their letters in the New Testament. They all tell you that in the last days, you're going to have false messiahs, false prophets, false teachers. That's the day and age we live in now. You guys got to know that. Because at times when they wrote these things and spoke and prophesied, there weren't as many as we do have today. And today, these people are embraced, sadly. So what's going to help us to know truth versus a lie? Or something that's taking the scriptures and twist it? Scriptures. God's word. And what do you and I need to do? We need to be about this. Searching the scriptures. How often? Annually? Every decade or so? I gotta dust off my Bible every time I do spring cleaning. So once a year. Daily. Daily. We'll get into this too as time goes on. Lord willing. So they received the word, and they received it. Notice it says here, with all readiness. They received God's word, not man's word. They received it. They received it with readiness. This word for readiness, this speaks of a predisposition. This word readiness. A predisposition. Pre. Think of that prefix pre. Predisposition. They were predisposed towards this. They were ready to hear this message that Jesus, now Paul, again, he was arguing from the scriptures. He was teaching them from the scriptures. The fact that Jesus is Messiah, Jesus was crucified, and Jesus resurrected. He didn't just say, this is my opinion. He used the scriptures. He did that in Thessalonica, and he came down to this region that we call Berea, and he did the same thing. He went in the synagogue on Saturday, as we call it, Sabbath, and he was telling them this. But the difference between the people in Thessalonica and those in Berea is these people, they were prepared. They were ready. This speaks of a readiness of heart and mind. They had a predisposition towards wanting to hear God's word. It speaks of a ready and a willing mind. I want to write this thing down. A ready and willing mind. By the way, when I write it just like this with quotes, that's exactly as I got it out of a Bible dictionary. That tells me and tells you. I could cite the source and I can go back. It's a Bible dictionary. It's a valid Bible helps tool. They had a ready and willing mind, and this speaks of eagerness. They were eager to hear the Bible. Again, something that's not too common today, even amongst Christendom. You would think that a true born-again Christian would want to hear God's word. Any of you guys get frustrated when you're trying to maybe share the Bible with your relative who says they're Christian, and they're like, no, get away from me. Has that been anybody? I think all of us, when you're trying to evangelize or you're trying to encourage someone else that's a Christian, they're like, no, I'll go to your Christian event. I'll show up at the barbecue and eat some stuff, especially if I don't got to pay anything. I'll do it. But no, I don't want to, don't talk to me about the Bible. Judge not. You don't say that kind of stuff, right? And if you get that when you're trying to, yeah. They'll quote the stuff, again, out of context. This is why you and I must search the scriptures. It makes you a better evangelist, but also in apologetics, that we can love and help people. So these people in Berea, they received the word, they welcomed it, and it was God's word, not Paul's word, with a readiness. They had an eagerness, they're ready and willing in their hearts and minds. They were prepared. This is why I want to tell you, if you want to join with us, I'm not saying you have to. Many of you guys did already. Praise God. But if you want to join with us in this group that we're calling Brands at the Cross, I'm going to close here. We want to help you to be prepared. But that means that you got to read your own Bible. You got to spend time with the Lord daily. I can't read your Bible for you. I can't pray your prayer for you. That's, by the way, like Catholic Church and others will say, oh, you could pray people out of purgatory. No, that's fake. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That didn't come from the Bible. There is no purgatory, a place where you're purged of your sins. You can't pray nor pay someone into heaven. Amen? Amen. Some of you came out of that. Amen. Praise God that you came out. I'm telling you, that is an extremely bad lie. Did not come from God's word of truth. It came from the devil, the father of lies. So when you and I search the scriptures, we want to be like the Bereans. We realize, okay, we need to be prepared. You need to spend time with the Lord. Spend time with him daily, that you could be prepared. And if you want to join us in this group, that'd be great. Let me know. And we want to help people to do research. Why? Because the Bereans, they search the scriptures daily. And we'll give you mini homework. It's like little homework. I have some of the handouts here. By the way, you can get one if you want before you leave. Some of you guys are already in the group. We can print them out here for you because this is a ministry of our church. And we make the printouts like this. It's a simple PDF. It's a really simple thing. Some people like paper. Any paper people here? Some people like digital. I'm more digital, but sometimes I like the paper. And we make it like this so you could even print up, put it in like a three-ring binder if you want. Just simple stuff. But we want to be able to give you not just a lot of homework. We want to help you down this path to being like the brains that search the scriptures daily. So keep coming in every Sunday. I'm going to close here. I want you to read this, though. This thing I mentioned here about the fourth soil, you could read about that. That you'll find the whole thing, at least, in Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. It's in the other Gospels as well, but this one you'll get a full passage. And you realize that Jesus only described, he only commented on that parable to the disciples. To the rest, he's like, look, anytime he spoke in a large group, he never made disciples. Then his disciples come to him after. He's like, Master, can you tell me, what is this thing, this soils and seeds? He's like, okay, to you, I'm going to break it down. I'm paraphrasing this. But to them, on the outside, he quotes Isaiah's passage. To them, I'm not going to. So every time Jesus spoke in a large crowd, he never made disciples. He never broke it down. He didn't have a Q&A time. Therefore, we must, in making disciples, we need to pull people aside one by one or in a small group even. That's what I want to do. That's my heart behind this. So if you want to join, this is what we're going to be about, the brands and brains at the cross, at least this free Facebook group we have. We'll have a training this Sunday, so today at 6 o'clock, and really every Sunday and Wednesday, or not Sunday and Wednesday, every Sunday and Friday. Excuse me, this should say Friday. Like, ooh, I'm going to pigeonhole myself there. So every Sunday and Friday at 6 o'clock until November 21st. So it ends shortly before Thanksgiving. But we're going to be about preparation. We'll be about research and encouragement. I'm going to close in prayer for this time right now. We'll partake of communion. Again, if anybody wants to join with us, please let me know. And I'll answer your questions and we'll help you even further. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord God, for the fact that you want to encourage us, you're exhorting us to be like the Bereans, to remain this way. They weren't just this way one time. They remained this way. They remained eager, ready, and willing to hear your word. That tells me, Lord, this wasn't like day one for them to hear about your word. They've already been prepared. And so, Father, we ask that you would send your spirit to prepare our hearts. I ask for your hand of protection to be upon us, too, as we move forward into this new ministry that just got birthed last Sunday that we call Brands at the Cross. We praise you and thank you, God. Thank you for the group, like 19 or 20 of us that are there, that we want to search your scriptures together. We want to learn. We want to grow in your ways, Lord. So please protect us. Please keep providing for us. And I do ask, God, for someone here that maybe listening to this online or listening later on or listening here in person, that if you're speaking to them, that you want them to be part of this, that they can get the extra help that they might need, that you would please minister to them, that we could love one another, that we could help each other to search the scriptures, and we could do it in a fun way. Thank you, God, that we can embrace the technology and utilize this so that we can help each other to grow. And so we do ask, Lord, that you would help us down that path of searching your scriptures daily, of receiving your word with all readiness. Teach us, train us to be like these Bereans. Thank you that they were a great example. Thank you, Lord, that they illustrate that fourth soil in Mark chapter 4. Help us to be like that, but we need to be like that with your empowerment. Help us, we do ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.